And thank you, Father, for those words. And also thank you for working through me, for me getting out of the way, and for me becoming a monitor that you can speak through me to your children. We thank you for their hearts being open wide, not just cracked open. They open up all the doors and all the windows for you to come into them today through Christ. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:39, be zealous or covet to prophesy. Our Father wants to speak to us more than you can ever imagine, but if His children won't open their mouths, then how can He speak to them? And your prophecies are right along with this. I saw something on Facebook, and somebody, an unbeliever, saw these pictures of nebula. A nebula looks like a, it looks like somebody's pouring dye in water. But it's these gigantic things out of space. These things are gargantuan. The unbeliever, the denialist, you know, their response was to that? It's scary. How do you even understand this? And it's your prophecies, but both of them were... every once in a while, we need to take a step back and look at the Milky Way galaxy. Look at Saturn, the rings and the moons. You know, if you went to a great king's palace and you got to see all these things built, would you not have reverence for the builder and the owner? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's home? Who is it? Who's there? And when we go before Yahweh, you know, I'm part of the beginning of the teaching, it doesn't matter how old you are or how smart you think you are. You're still a little bitty peon kid to Him. If we remember that, then He can really bless us. He doesn't need our ability, but He needs our humility. Our humility and availability. And so we're going to start off with a story about Elijah. And you know, every once in a while, you know, you think, maybe he's an 80-year-old man. I don't know how old he is. Hey, things should be going pretty good, right? It's going to look like he's going downhill. Things are getting worse. It's going to appear, and every once in a while, even in our lives, you're going to, wait a minute, what do you mean I lost my house? Wait a minute, what do you mean I lost my job or something like that? And Yahweh doesn't promise a smooth ride. But if we're in fellowship with Him, all that matters is who we're with through it. And I can imagine, here's Elijah, here's Moses. We look at this, some of the greatest. Who is like Moses? Who is like Elijah? Let's just take a look at their lives. How many times was Yahweh humbling them? Or maybe He wasn't humbling them. Maybe it was humility was required. Moses, put your hand in your cloak. Man, I'm an 80-year-old parlor tricks. Oh, there you go. Look at that. Here's Elijah. Do this. Oh, what's this? So, you know, and to hear these things are, so we're all growing up. No matter how old you are, you're never done. I could even think about Jesus Christ as over 2,000 years old. His dad's like, yeah, it's pretty old, isn't it? No, not compared to his dad. So how old are you compared to Yahweh? And when you're going to be speaking to Him, have a little bit of reverence who you're talking to. Not, hey, you know, if you do this for me, I'll finally come in on that one thing. And it could be some of that. But have a little bit of reverence of who actually we're talking to, and you know, and then, but those are your two prophecies. That being like a kid, here's Moses at times. And I could see that where Moses, or some of the greatest prophets, Yahweh goes, "Come on, relax." What do you mean, relax? I gotta feed 8,000 whiny Hebrews in the wilderness, and they're a bunch of brats. They're about ready to kill me. And Yahweh's putting, "Relax, Moses. I got you." Holy, what are you trying to kill me? I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm going to die. Moses never said that. But if I was 84 years old, that's the last thing I'd want to do, take care of a bunch of those things. But amidst your callings or in your lives, you're going to be in a position where you're going to have so many liabilities, bills, or problems that you're going to be overwhelmed. And you're going to be going to Yahweh with all the problems. I don't have enough money. Your kids aren't where they need to be. Your spouse isn't where they need to be. I've been waiting forever for this one thing. It's never happened. And you're going to be surrounded with all your problems and your problems and your problems. And they did, the disciples brought those to Jesus Christ. He's like, relax. What do you got? And He multiplies what they did have. And that's, He'll do the same thing with us. 1 Kings chapter 17. And you're going to remember, you're going to be freaking out, you're going to be stressed out. You really don't understand how big these bills are. Or you really don't understand how bad the doctor said it is. This is more serious than anything. You go, okay. Not to lower anybody's seriousness of their situation, but is your doctor's diagnosis worse than Lazarus?
never thought of that.
Dude's been rotting for 3 days, man. Okay. And if y'all can work with Lazarus, okay. And then we kind of compare ourselves, and when I look at these stories, and Elijah, and he's going to call fire, we're not going to go under, he's going to call down fire from heaven, and the people are going to fall down on their hands and knees, Yahweh is El, Yahweh is El. And I bet you Elijah wept, because the people finally turned. And then it finishes the chapter that he runs in front of Ahab, this wicked king. Looks like he does a 180. And E.W. Bulger points out, why did he run it? You know, he, Elijah, I don't know how, it didn't say how old he is. Little things about Elijah. Didn't say, he was a Tishbite. They think he might have been from Gad. Was he a priest? We don't know. Who were his parents? We don't know. We don't know hardly anything about this guy. But we do know that when Ahab's going back to, I think it was Jezreel, it's 18 to 20 miles. So the prophet ran in front of his chariots, 18 to 20 miles. And E.W. Bulger says, why did they do that? Well, E.W. Bulger, why? Why did he do that? E.W. Bulger says the king was supposed to have runners go before him. And there was such haste that he wouldn't have a runner. So here's, can you imagine Yahweh going, hey Elijah, you can run. Me run? I'm not a 20-year-old teenager. You're going to run 20 miles. You got it? And it didn't say Yahweh did that, but he did that. Right after all that, you know what happened to Israel? They rejected Yahweh. Jezebel's going to come kill Elijah. And I can imagine Elijah going, just kill me. I'm done. That's it. I don't want any more. I literally don't want any more. And Jonah was like that too. But I can imagine even at those moments here. I've never been through what that guy's been through. Have you been through what he's been through? Are you kidding me? That peak and that low? And then here you are, and they still rejected Yahweh. We're back and says, I'm no good. But I can imagine Yahweh going, hey, Elijah. It's pretty cool, though, wasn't it? What did you think about the fire of Yahweh? Yeah, that was really cool. That was pretty sweet. Yeah, it was amazing. And it's that company. That company. Instead, Elijah got fed three different... Yahweh fed Elijah three different times through miraculous events. One time he's going to go to a widow who's dying. Another time, before that, he's gonna feed him through ravens, an unclean animal. That doesn't make sense. They say the rabbis still have a problem with that. And another time, he's gonna feed him by a messenger. Get up, eat. Who are you? Eat. Gets up, eats. Wakes him up again. Get up. Why? The journey's too. You're gonna eat again. Who? I gotta run again. But he's getting ready for his retirement. 17, verse 1. Get there.
371.
Father. It's neat because you can. Could somebody read the context of chapter 17? Dad, would you read that right above it?
Elijah appears upon the scene, threatening a long drought. The prophet dwells by the ravine of Cherith, then lodged with a widow at Zarephath in Zidon, whose son he restored to life.
Who's Elijah before this? I haven't researched it, but if you look at the commentary, you know what they say? Who is this guy? Who are you? Out of nowhere. It's like Moses showing up to Pharaoh. Moses had a resume. No, but here he just appears out of nowhere. Who is this guy? Now, I have not researched that, but this is the commentary. It's going to give you a little context. He's going to pop up out of nowhere. And then said Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead unto Ahab, by the life of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, before whom I stand, there shall not these 2 years be either dew or rain, save at the bidding or the mouth of my word. I think bidding means mouth, right? Dad?
Yeah.
Okay. The mouth of my word. Who are you? Who is this guy? It could have been Ahab, never even seen this guy before. He's got a good name though, right? Then came the, okay, so he goes and tells the evil king there's going to be a huge drought, and Yahweh promises that. He says, if you do wickedness, I'll stop the rain. What's Yahweh tell him to do next? Then came the word of Yahweh into me saying, out of here! The commentary says, get out of here before the drought starts. Because once the drought starts, they're probably going to kill you. Okay, so I'm gonna play in this a little bit. Maybe he didn't know what was going to happen next. And maybe the next thing is, Yahweh goes, get out of here, go. And it could have been things changed, but wait a minute. Go where? Get thee hence, verse 3, and turn the eastward, and hide thyself in the ravine Cherith, which faces the Jordan. And it shall be of the torrent shalt thou drink. And the ravens have I commanded to sustain thee. Raven is an unclean animal. What's going to feed me? A raven. Are you sure? Wait a minute. Why do I got to run? Why do I got to hide it? Chuck, go to Utah. There's a cave. It's over here. Go in there. And I'll have some Muslims bring you some food or something like that. What the heck is this all about? But this is just the beginning of this guy's life. So he went and did according to the word of Yahweh. Yeah, he went and dwelt in the ravine. Now the drought starts setting in. Yahweh's protecting his prophet. It would appear, in my opinion, he could have lost a lot of stuff. He's not where his house is. He's not where his property is. It would appear. A Cherith which fed the face of the Jordan. And the ravens used to bring him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Isn't that neat? He brought him sandwiches morning and evening. Can you imagine going out there? Get over here! Hey, I'm hungry, guys. And then here, can you imagine him waking up going, what? And here's Yahweh going, I got you, man. I got you. Now, none of these commentators I was reading, he's going, Yahweh will do that with us. He's going, I need to get you a little lower, possibly. I need you just to go, I am so good. Wendy, don't look at how old you are or your success record. I am so good, I can feed you by ravens or manna from heaven. I can have you swallowed by a sea monster. I can have you taken up into a storm. Don't look at you, look at me. And some of the commentary were wondering if possibly Elijah needed to get, hey, don't forget who Yahweh is. I mean, why are you feeding him by ravens and
build his faith?
And here, whatever it was. But here he is out there, birds bringing you breakfast and lunch. Hey, get back here with that. I'm not done with that. Okay, here it is. And then you see in the evening, in the torrent, used he to drink. Here's a torrent. But it came to pass at the end of the certain days, the torrent dried up. Oh, great, because there had been no rain in the land. Then came the word of Yahweh and him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Now, I have not verified this either. But one of the commentaries says this is the property of Jezebel where she came from. So Ahab is possibly going to be hunting him down because of a drought. And now he's going to send out to go to here's the Zidonians or to Zidon. I haven't verified that either, which could seem odd too. But it would appear that Yahweh takes the prophet and puts him in Jezebel's territory or family as a hideout. But I haven't verified that. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. Let me see. Verse 8. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. Lo, I've commanded there a widow. I've called ahead. I got you a bed and breakfast. There's an Airbnb. You got some Wi-Fi. There's a hot tub. There's a free buffet. No. I've commanded there a widow to sustain thee. Well, at least he's upgrading from ravens.
Yeah.
Maybe he can talk to this one. Maybe. Okay, so there's a widow there. Okay, so he arose, and I'm thinking about Yahweh said, none of us are grown up compared to Yahweh. He's not done with any of us. Now, we could be done with him. I'm done growing. I'm done learning. I've given you 30, 40, 50 years. I'm tired of doing this thing. He goes, okay. But for those that are humble, we get on our hands and knees. He goes, are you ready for an adventure? What's the adventure? All right.
Yeah.
And you only got one life to live, and he's writing it. So here's let me see here. So then he arose in verse 10 and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the entrance of the city, lo, there a widow woman gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. There's a drought. Water's valuable. And as she went and fetched it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, by the life of Yahweh, thy Elohim, verily I have not a cake, only how much?
A handful of meal
in the jar, and a little oil in the cruse. And lo, I have been gathering a couple of sticks, so shall I go in and make it ready for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And that's pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
This is our last meal, handful of meal. And Elijah said unto her, do not fear. Go and make ready according to thy word. Howbeit, make me therefore a little cake first. Okay, we're going to split a handful. And bring it out to me. And for thyself and thy son, make ready afterwards. For thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail, until the day of Yahweh giveth rain upon the face of the ground. So this could have been two and a half years of bread was going to be supplied. How?
Miraculously.
Her asset was going to be multiplied. Yet, this thing, she had a handful. That's not enough even for a meal. But when you got Yahweh with you, that little bitty assets, Yahweh's going to multiply that. It could be you don't have any money or whatever it is. I don't have time. You know what Yahweh has me give time to people when I don't have any. It's one of the hardest things to give. And so, let's see. So she went and made ready according to the word of Elijah. You can imagine her going, are you kidding me? Well, what do I got to lose? We're going to die anyways, right? Possibly. And he did eat. Can you imagine it? You guys, this guy's a prophet. He loves Yahweh. He loves Yahweh's people. What does he want more than ever is to help people meet Yahweh and trust Yahweh, right? And what does he have? Israel's not with him, but here's his little widow. And what does she do? She obeys. If you love me, do what I say. John 14:15. Covet this prophesy. I want all you to speak in tongues. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's just weird. Bill Maher did that with Barrett. Oh, great! We're going to have some sort of religious fanatic in the Supreme Court justice. She's a Catholic. She probably speaks in tongues. And I saw that. And I went, yeah. Because to the adversary, that's probably the worst thing ever. Like, yeah, absolutely. Speak in tongues. But here's this woman, and see. Where did I stop?
16.
The jar of meal did not waste, nor the cruse of oil did not fail, according to the word of Yahweh, which he spake through Elijah. Okay. So he took the assets. 2 Kings chapter 4.
You think about Christ reading that and then feeding the multitudes.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't know until I was probably 20 years old. That Christ wasn't the first person to multiply bread. No, it had been done before. It was Elijah or Elisha? I forget. Was it Elisha? So he multiplies the bread too. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now a certain woman, this is Elisha, a certain woman of the wives of the sons, and I wish I would have started here. Actually, I was supposed to start here. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets made outcry to Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant was one who revered Yahweh. You know what I mean? Sometimes bad things happen to good people, bad circumstances, right? Now the creditor hath come to take my two boys to himself as a bondman. I've never had that. My children are going to be sold into slavery. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? What's he say next? Will you read that for me?
Tell me what thou hast in the house.
What do you have? And so that's the whole thing. What do you got? And that thing, what do you got? Oh, it's not about a pep talk about being joyful or something. A lot of times Yahweh, it could be an ER surgeon. Somebody coming, they don't got anything. What tools you got? Give me something. This could be an emergency. This could be really quick. But Yahweh goes, what do you got? Through the prophet. And what does she have? What do you got? What do you got? What assets you got? I got nothing! And I'm losing my son! Did you miss it? What do you got? Oh, I got some empty jars here. I got some 2 liters here. And she said, thy maidservant hath nothing at all, the liabilities in the house, save a flask of oil. And he said, go ask thee vessels from without, all thy neighbors, empty vessels, let them not be few. And when thou hast come in, then shalt thou shut the door behind thee and behind thy sons, and shalt pour into all these vessels, and that which is full shalt thou set aside. So she went out, and one of the commentaries I was reading also said this is similar to Yehoshua turning water into wine. And as long as it kept pouring the water, guess what it kept turning into? Wine. And so here's this whole thing. You're going to do this. Wow. So she went out from his presence. Notice she had to be alone. When you're going to do something big and miraculous, there's a good chance you're not supposed to be around unbelievers or around babes in Christ who don't have faith. If they don't speak in tongues and prophesy on a regular basis, and you're going to be walking on water, don't even talk to them. You don't need unbelief. Jesus Christ kicked people out of their own funeral. Get out of here. There's too much on the line. So if he's calling you to walk on water to get healed, Donna, cover your ears. He said, I don't want to talk to anybody unless they're a water walker or if they're a fighter. And if I'm going down, I'm going down fighting. So who are my mighty men with me? And then Yahweh will say, these are the mighty men. The rest of these guys, tell them, you can apologize 6 months later after the war's over. You go, nothing personal, but I had a serious battle. And they'll understand. And especially if they're believers, because Yahweh will communicate to them. You ever had to do that? Not take a cell phone or not take a phone call? They're going to be pissed. Yahweh will explain to them later on. He'll tell them to relax. So she went outside from the presence, shut the door, verse 5, behind her and behind her sons. They bringing near to her, and she pouring it out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me a vessel more. And he said unto her, there is no more vessels, and the oil stayed. And a lot of people believe that if she would have had more vessels, guess what she would have had? More. And here's Yahweh. And it would have been the lessons after this, possibly hindsight would have been, we should have got more empty vessels. Yeah. And so here's the whole thing. What do you have? I got nothing. Take a deep breath. Get peaceful. What do you have? We're just doing that with Malia with her math. I could see she was overwhelmed with a word problem. And then mom started saying a word problem out loud. I'm like, hush your mouth. With me, when it comes to word problems and math, I don't want to hear it. I got to write it out. I started counting things out, then I get to see it. So even when you're saying, like, that's, then we went over to Milan, I go, write this out. So we just started writing down the facts. And this is the same thing. What do you got? Then Yahweh will multiply. Matthew chapter 14. And you know, there could be a lot of times that just by you guys being here or listening to the teaching, that you are now prepared yourself for the next level of water walking in somewhere in your life. And Yahweh's going to go, good. You know, I was telling Melania and I was telling these kids too, I said, when I got to college, I put it on my desk before I studied, a post-it that said, James 1, if anybody wants wisdom, let them be asking. Mm-hmm. And I used to ask, I know I didn't study for the test. I know I didn't read. But you know everything. And I did. I tried. But then I went, wait a minute. Yahweh's a just and righteous God. He's not going to help me cheat. So then when I would study, and then I wouldn't know, I couldn't get the information out, I go, no, if it's already in there, if I put it in there, then he can reference it. And then James 4, 2b and 3, you have not because you ask not. Every test. Put those in front of you. But the whole thing is, even with scriptures, if you've never memorized or heard this scripture, have you ever been at a Bible study and they said a scripture you've never heard before?
Yep.
How can Yahweh reference that scripture if you've never heard it before? He can't. Well, he possibly could. But it isn't amazing that once you hear one teaching on a certain subject, Yahweh can use that as a reference point for the rest of your life? Or a scripture? Okay. Dad did that one. 1 John 2:15 and 16. You recite that?
We not loving the world? No. For all is in the world, the coming of the flesh, the coming of the eyes, the vain grandeur of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay, be not loving the world, the things that are in the world. All these lusts. Because Yahweh's not of the world. What was the rest of it? You're not loving. But the whole thing, okay, go ahead.
That's alright.
But the scripture is saying that if we are of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the vain grandeur of life, guess who we don't have fellowship with? Yeah. Yahweh's not in it. You want to be fellowship with Yahweh, then you separate yourself. And then if you can handle those things like President Trump can, well, then you could possibly have some of those things, but it's not going to be a distraction. But ever since Dad gave me that scripture, I'm like, guess what happens to me? Every once in a while, I'm like, ha-ha, ha-ha. I'm starting exalting myself. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. In football, we call that established separation. When you're a wide receiver, you want to get away from the D-back. You try to get separation, to get away from it. And that's what sin does with us, with Yahweh. But now, ever since he taught me that scripture, in a good way, it haunts me. The lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and some things start forward, I'm going to go, I don't want it. But once you get it in there, Yahweh can reference it. But that's an asset. If you get a scripture inside you, what do you got? I don't have anything. Do you got a scripture on this? No. Well, what do you got? I don't got anything. Give me something. Suck it up. Once you're done crying, you can call me back. You ready to start doing this? You ever had that with a kid? Where I was a kid, you start crying about, whenever you want help and you stop and you want to grow up, I'll talk to you. How many times is Yahweh going to do that with us the rest of our life?
Yeah.
I'm 120 years old. Everybody's departed. Aaron, when you're done crying, call me. I got to go. Wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah. Hang on.
14 verse 13. Matthew. Yeah, I'm trying not to do the page number so people can learn it. I'm talking way too much. I saw that with Shrek the first time. The donkey starts talking, donkey's with Shrek. They go, the donkey talks! And Shrek goes, yeah, it's getting him to shut up. That's the trick. And when I heard that, I went, my donkey. Okay. Verse 13. And Yehoshua hearing, Mom, would you read it?
Just 13.
It's going to be through 21.
And Yehoshua hearing it retired from thence in a boat into a desert place apart, and the multitudes hearing of it followed him on foot from the cities.
I'll read. I'm sorry. Okay. And coming forth, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion over them, and he cured their sick. And evening arriving, the disciples came unto him, saying, "The place is a desert, and the hour hath already passed. Dismiss the multitudes, that they may go away in the villages and buy themselves food." But Yehoshua said unto them, "No need have they to go away. Give ye them to eat." But they said unto him, "We have nothing here save 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And he said unto them, "Bring them to me." Isn't that neat? Before this teaching, I always thought he meant the people bring them to me. And I wonder if this would bring the fish and the bread to me. And for this teaching, for that purpose, we're going to say, what do you have? Bring it to Yahweh. What assets do you got? Because the people are going to come next. And giving orders that the multitudes could recline on the grass, but I bet you he brought the bread, he brought the fish. And Yehoshua was perfect. I bet you he got excited with this, man. This is going to be fantastic. Giving orders, the multitude should recline upon the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up into the heavens. He blessed and gave the disciples the loaves, and the disciples unto the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the remainder of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. They start 12 baskets full. They who did eat were about 5,000 besides women and children. But the point of this, what do you got? Bring it to me. And so we don't necessarily, we're not going to understand everything. A lot of times the words are not going to be there. We're just going to know what we need to do. He's inside of us. But we bring it to him. I don't know how we're going to win. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to overcome. But this I do know, who I'm with. And if I'm like this little bitty Pippin or a Chihuahua, if I'm beside Jesus Christ wherever he goes and I'm his lap dog, it doesn't matter what lions are out there, because I'm with this guy. And that's who we are choosing to be. If we're not in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, if you were in the light as he is in the light, and going to go bring it to him, we're going to bring the assets to him. What do you have? What areas in your life are you missing? Is it healing? Is it relationships to be my liabilities? Is it peace? Is it time? What do you got? Yahweh can multiply things. He can blow things up bigger than anything you could ever imagine. And when we go to him, he's a God of peace. And all of a sudden, like I had, my last teaching was a week that I was going through like a hurricane. Personally, the adversary was attacking me from everywhere. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have peace. I was being harassed until finally I talked to my dad after I talked to Tim the day before. And after my dad goes, "What do you want to do?" I said, "This is what I want to do." Guess what I had? It was like I was just going the wrong direction. I go, "That's it. I have peace. Then I did, then you know what I had after I got that peace? I got really excited about things that I was almost embarrassed about. I went, if this is true, I got really excited. And that's our Father. And when he says, bring me the fish of the loaves, Shauna. Elijah, bring me the fish of the loaves. Or Isaiah, what do you got? You're going to go, this is going to be fantastic. Or your health. Now, I used to think, now, this is me, so we're going to pick on me. I'm an easy target. My weakness, one of my biggest weaknesses besides liking attention, is I like people. If you like people, you want to tell people what they want to hear. I don't like to be alone. I don't like to be alienated. I want everybody to get along. I want everybody having fun. If I walk into a party or something, I want everybody laughing. I want everybody participating. It's a strength. It's also a very big weakness because it can make you compromise things. I told you that I was very popular. That was a put down to me. Because I wasn't popular with Yahweh. I got popular with other people. You know? But, so I was thinking about a bad situation with me. Do you know what would be one of the worst situations for people like me? To be on a desert island. And I thought about being on a desert island. I thought about that. And if you watch most movies about somebody being on a desert island, what are they doing the whole time they're on there?
Looking for food.
They're trying to escape. Their whole existence is, I got to get out. I got to get out of here. And Yahweh was stirring things up in my own mind going, practice what you preach, Aaron. What would you do? Or not what you would do. I don't know what I would do. What should a believer do if they're on that island? And I went, okay, let's just try some optimism. I got my own island. How about that? Mm-hmm. President Trump's got his own island, right? How about, instead I don't have anybody, it's my island, it's my rock, it's my tree. And how about instead of me trying to escape the rest of my life, I'm taking care of my island. After all, Adam and Eve were just two on a gigantic desert island. There was nobody else. That's what I could do. And you start thinking about that. You're going to go, but it's just a different way of thinking. The assets and liabilities, instead of going, what's not in my life, or how many people I lost. And then think what that does with Yahweh, especially if you're with Yahweh on your desert island, whatever that is. If I got Yahweh on the island, who needs anybody else? Everybody else is going to let you down. Spouses, kids. Yahweh's never going to let you down. And then you can imagine a whole other life of somebody being on a desert island with Yahweh. Well, golly, sure would be nice to have some kids. I always wanted some kids. That's okay. Who needs kids anyways? I got you, Yahweh. What do you got? I got an island. You got any dirt? Because that's all I need with Adam and Eve. Dirt. Who are you with? It's just a whole other way of thinking. Because now somebody's on a desert island. It's my island. Well, I got nobody else with me. I got some dirt. Let's multiply. I have some suggestions if we're going to be making her. She's got to be a good listener.
A stick figure right there.
But it's just a whole other way. And what does Yahweh do when we start taking the offense with our optimism in our situation, looking at his resume? And he's going, thank you for looking at me and not your situation. We'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So all of us, every single one of us, every human being, everybody is given a gift. There's that Nick, I forgot his name, he's a South African, he was born without arms or legs, he's got one toe. Right? He's an incredible evangelist. What is he doing with his gift? He's giving his gift back to Yahweh, he's writing books, he's a motivational speaker. We were at Creation Fest with 100,000 people in a ravine, and this guy comes walking out, he's got no legs. He's got no arms. He's on a metal stage talking about his parents didn't want him, the rest of this stuff. And we're sitting there listening to him. But then all of a sudden, lightning starts coming and thunder. And people start, we've got to shut this thing down. He goes, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. The same God that created that storm is inside me. And he said this on the microphone. I'm going, and you know what happened to my faith? And then it got vetoed. And then the people go, no, we've got to shut down. I'm going to go, what does that guy have? That guy's got more than what I have. Everybody, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you're in solitary confinement, whether you're in North Korea or South Korea, Yahweh gives everybody a chance. What are you doing with your gift? Isaiah, what are you doing with your gift? Are you using your gift for your own enjoyment? Or are you using your gift for Him? And so that's the trick. And that's one of your assets. One of your assets. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. The concept is what do you got, not just what do you got. The emphasis, who is with you and how good is Yahweh's resume? He can do a lot. Oh yeah, He can really do a lot. Look at all the stars that are growing. I'm reading Strooms. He talked about all these suns that are burning. They don't run out of their gases. Yeah, he can do a lot, right? Now what's neat with this is, here's Samuel. Would somebody please read verse 19?
And Samuel grew, and Yahweh proved to be with him, and let none of all his words fall to the ground.
Well, what did Yahweh do?
Prove to be with him.
No, the last part. He let
all of his words. He didn't let all of his words.
Yahweh wouldn't let any of his words fall to the ground. Does that mean every one of Shamuel's words were perfectly accurate, spoken at the right time, at the right place?
No.
It was about who he was with and who Shamuel represented. Yahweh didn't let any of his words. And it could have been sometimes Shamuel, his words didn't make sense. But Yahweh goes, not one single word is going to hit the ground. Because he represents me. Here's Moses, couldn't even speak very well. But I think about that with prophecy. You ever say some things? You mess it up and things are falling out. And you go, oh, I didn't know if I should be doing it. He's that good. He's really, really good. I've given prophecies to people. And then afterwards, I asked him about the prophecy. And you know what? It was like they were in a completely different room watching a different movie than me. Because the words that I heard was about this and this and this and this. And they go, oh no, it's about that, this and this. Yeah. Yahweh is so good that He is working through those words as I'm speaking them to communicate inside me and into that person. I've given prophecies to people, and then later on they came back and said, you told me I was going to get married and have kids and do this and this and that. And I went, I specifically remember what I said. That's not what I said. But Yahweh was working inside them, and they knew exactly what it is. Yahweh can do that with your words. You speak them. And I think a lot of this is speaking to the mountain. Well, I'm learning how to do it. If your heart's right and you're walking out on water for Him, He's going to go, just give me something. I'm really, really good. Really good. Romans chapter 4, and this is where we'll wrap up. And then every once in a while you're going to mess up with a word, and you know what? Yahweh is so good. If I mess up and I gave somebody the wrong direction, if I'm in fellowship, He can say, call them back.
Yeah.
And say, hey Donna, I told you to go left. Pray about that. I don't have peace about that one thing. He's that good. But He goes, but He can't. Let me retract it. He doesn't possess you like a demon. You speak the words. You put the words in your mouth. You speak them in faith, and He's going to work with them. And if you make a mistake, He goes, I'm really good. I'm really good. I'll tell you to call him back. Or I'll send an angel to him. Or I'll have some ravens drop off a text message. Trust me, I'm that good. Yahweh is. And so is His Son. Romans chapter 4. And so this is completely missed in any other translation. We're talking about Abraham. He's 100 years old. His wife's 90 years old. He's going to have a kid. And I'll talk to believers. They'll say, well, things are very different back then. You know, their 90-year-olds and 100-year-olds were different than us. And well, that's what they're taught.
Yeah.
And I go, it is written in Romans that her womb's dead. It's a dead womb. Let's see here. I'll start in verse 17. Even as it is written, Father of many nations have I appointed thee. Before him whom he believed, Yahweh, who causes the dead to live and calleth the things that are not as though they are. Even with a dead body, what do you got? I got dirt. All right. Adam and Eve were made out of dirt. I was talking to my son, Caden, and we're talking about the trumpet, and we're the dead are asleep. Okay. And then when Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be this trumpet, or it's going to be a day of shouting or some sort of blast. And he goes, then what's going to happen? And I go, all the dead people, I said, what does the scripture say happen when you die? Dust you are, dust you'll be. And then we'll get resurrected. And he goes, how's he going to make people out of dirt? This one. He did this in Genesis. His dad did it in Genesis. Wasn't the first time, right? I remember Pops even saying that my grandfather didn't want to get cremated because the Catholic Church said if you get cremated, you're always not going to have all the parts to put it back together. Actually, Izzy did that to our roommate once. He donated one of his organs on the back of his driver's license, forgetting he was a Catholic. He freaked out. He went, I need that because I need all my body parts. But wait a minute. Y'all had a dirt, so even if somebody's dead, what do we got? Got the dirt. Got the same dirt, okay? Let me see. Calls things that are not as though they are. Who passed hope upon hope believed, so that he became a father of many nations. According to what had been said, so shall thy seed. Did Abraham get to see the multitudes?
No.
How many multitudes is Yahweh wanting to come out of your life that you're not even going to get to see until the resurrection? Because Abraham doesn't get to see any of this print. He didn't get to see Jesus Christ reading what he did. He didn't get to see Moses fulfilling it. He didn't get to see Elijah. He didn't get to see these things. But he did it anyways. And how much is your life? Well, what's the point? Nobody followed. It's for the print. It's for the readers. It's for the author. It's for him. All of us are writing a book. People are going to get to read it. And you know what it does? Well, what does it matter? Nobody's listening. It matters to him. And so that's what Abraham did. It mattered to you, Yahweh. I'll do whatever you want. This looks ridiculous. Now, let's see here. Verse 19. Well, I'm sorry? Is that right? And without becoming weak in his faith, he attentively considered. Every other translation is going to say he considered not. The Greek word here is he attentively considered. He looked at all of his problems. He looked at all of his liabilities. He added it up. His own body already deadened. He being 100 years old. The deadening also of Sarah's womb. He added up all the facts. But then what did he do? He went back to his asset. Ha! She's old. I'm old. That's the liability. What did he do after he added it all up? Which is neat, because if you've ever had bills, you don't want to add up all the bills. I don't want to see the revolving debt. I do that with clients. I do that with myself. Go, look at all this income. How much outstanding debt do you have, Aaron? You don't have to do that. He's got to do that. You probably don't do it, Donna. He does it. Izzy probably doesn't do it. You do it. And you go, holy smokes. And you look at these things. You look at some of the stuff. And especially if Yahweh tells you to give a gigantic check like you did to CES. I could pay off a lot of debt with that. And so here's this whole thing. He added up all the debt. What takes more faith? To ignore your problem or to look at your problem right in the face? With an intention, before you look it in the face, I'm taking it to my asset. But let me see here. In respect, however, the promise... Okay, let me see. He being 100 years old, verse 20. In respect, however, of the promises of Yahweh... He was not led to hesitate by unbelief, but received power by his faith, giving glory to Yahweh. That's Philippians 4. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your consideredness be made known to all men. Yahweh is near. For nothing be anxious, but in everything let your prayer and supplication be with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Then the peace of Yahweh, which rises above every mind, will guard your hearts and your thoughts. Are you coming to him with thanksgiving? And that's what he did. A glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, able was he also to perform. Abraham didn't even have dirt. He didn't even have bread. But he did have Yahweh, and so do you and I. So what are your assets? What are your liabilities? Be a good steward. I think about that. Here's this balance. Yahweh's always got this balance. Dad and I, we'll talk about this all the time, because the scriptures say this. The scriptures also say that. The scriptures say this. And they also say, well, how do you make this fit? How do you get... Salvation can't be earned, but without faith is works. Here's Dad. Faith without works is dead. You can't earn it, and here's the grace and these other things, and here's this balance. Here's some other stuff. Are you supposed to worry for tomorrow?
No.
Yeah. The vagrants on the streets downtown who refuse to work, they don't worry about tomorrow either. Okay. Is that what we're supposed to do?
No.
No? Are we supposed to be a good steward? Yeah? Okay, so add up your debts, be a hard worker, but then no worry for tomorrow. He's always working. He's always got a little bit more. What's going to feel like it? Elijah, it's going to feel like it's too much. It's just too much. But that's when you're looking at your liabilities. Look at Yahweh. That what he has promised is able as he to perform. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for you speaking to us through your son. And we thank you for your mom and dad paying, financing, all these things, and dad doing all the work to distribute, record for you. Do not be fearful. But hold still and grab me by my bosom. Like an infant who holds and clings on to their mother's abdomen or their dad's leg, they know that if they have their parent, then they're in a safe place. They don't worry about their food. They don't worry about their mortgage. They don't worry about taxes. As long as they have that leg or that thigh to squeeze onto, they'll be fine. So take your childlike faith and squeeze on me. And don't get so overwhelmed by the work that I'm telling you to do. Don't forget who's the best boss on the planet. I reward above and beyond anything you could ever imagine or can even comprehend. So use your imagination, not to convince yourself how hard you have, but kick that imagination in the teeth and get it to start working for you. Use that imagination to imagine what rewards would a king give to a faithful servant that lays his life down daily for him. Amen.